Hello and welcome to the 361 Degrees podcast, Season 7, Episode 5. My name's Ben Smith from Wireless Worker.
I'm Ewan from Mobile Industry Review.
And I'm Rose Blanford from the All About Sites.
Welcome back, gents. Good to see you.
Come on.
Excellent.
Again, full of energy.
Yes.
Full of energy because we have...
We're both wrong. We just need to get in there right now.
We have refreshments in the studio this week, which is much excitement. There's a bit of a sugar rush going on, isn't
there? I had a salad.
You had a salad. So I have to admit, I did have some of the sugar, so I'm probably G'd up. So,
and you sound it. I am very properly G'd up.
It's been a long week already. I was doing some editing of a previous 361 podcast episode the other night, and it's stretched on long into the evening. So, because I had to take out all the times that you were mean to Rafe Blanford.
Come on, it's not mean. It's just he's so wrong all the time.
There we go.
It's just a series, Rafe. I don't know what you're doing.
So
it's the water or something he's drinking.
I think before we start, it'd be a good opportunity to say hello to new listeners because I know there have been some new listeners. Welcome to the 361 podcast. The three of us record every week talking about mobile topics and technology. So far this season, we've covered off mobile networks. We've talked about security last week. We talked about what it takes to build apps.
That's right.
And, well, I suppose we should probably... now move on to talk about this week's topic and Rafe Blanford. We don't have a guest this week, but you have an interesting blog post we're going to talk about.
I do, and this is in the light of Amazon announcing their phone product, following on, of course, from the Kindle Fire tablet. It's the Fire Phone. But I wanted to talk about a blog post written by Jan Dawson on Beyond Devices, which is Jackdaw Research's kind of a blog that talks about mobile topics. And it was particularly interesting because it was actually written ahead of the announcement, but talked about a lot of the themes that have then come up in discussions afterwards. And we wanted to talk a little bit about that and Android open source project devices. But this post went through a couple of topics that were interesting about how Amazon needed a storefront on mobile, having already done the tablet and obviously having started as a traditional web retailer and, you know, become a giant in that space, frankly.
Just before you kick off, I think there might be an interesting point for listeners who perhaps aren't super techie like your good self. What is Android Open Source Project?
Android Open Source Project, it's all the Android devices that don't come with Google services. And this happens because Android's available as open source, but increasingly Google has put other bits of the offering into stuff that it controls itself. And you have to sign an agreement with Google. There's various certification procedures that you have to go through. So that's things like Gmail, Google Maps, but also, crucially, Google Play Services, which is how you get... the Google Play Store.
So I can, if I'm a phone manufacturer, I can put Android on my device and I don't need to have anything to do with Google at all.
That's absolutely right. But it doesn't come with all the bits that people associate with a smartphone. And Android Open Source Project is interesting in some markets, particularly somewhere like China, where it represents anything up to 80% or more of the devices that are kind of in the install base. Now, that's partly because Google isn't operating as a business in China. History on that that we won't go into here. But because China is such a big market, it's actually getting to the point where the Android Open Source Project is between 30 and 40% of all Android devices, depending on how you do the estimates. And I think the other one to call to attention here is Nokia, and now Microsoft, doing Android devices. And they've done that again through the Android Open Source Project with the Nokia X series of devices. And they provided their own app store. They're using Here Maps and promoting Microsoft services on the top of Android. I mean, essentially, consumers don't necessarily recognize it as an Android device. Amazon is kind of, in one sense, more the middle ground because it does play up the fact it's Android compatible on their Kindle Fire tablets, and they're going to do the same with the phone. But they have replaced several bits of it, including the store, including push notifications, maps, and payment with their own system. And they, of course, then promote their own ecosystem in terms of music, books, and videos. On top of that, the phone part of it had been widely anticipated. And as this Beyond Devices blog post talked about, there's several reasons for that. It's the growing role of e-commerce. Now about 30% of visits to e-commerce websites, this is in Western Europe and America, are now on mobile devices. The conversion rate is still a bit lower than that, between 15 and 20%, depending on which numbers you believe. But there's also this idea of phones and tablets as kind of the new screens for consuming content. You know, we've always talked about them as being second screen devices, but in fact, now arguably the smartphone and the tablet is your first screen and the television is your second screen. So this, the blog post, it does a good job of summarizing all of this, but it also notes that Amazon's in kind of a unique position. We've talked in the past before about the difficulty of launching ecosystems and the way that Windows Phone and Microsoft have struggled, and how can anyone possibly get there? And Firefox OS and BlackBerry obviously ties into that. But of course, Amazon has brand recognition. It has a channel to the market, and it actually already has a kind of developer interest, because for a while now it's had the Amazon App Store. Now, originally that was set up for its tablet device, but arguably it has the, you know, the potential to become the de facto, so at least in the Western European and American markets, AOSP kind of app store provider. And there are a couple that do ones for Russia and obviously out in India and China as well.
And now doing it for BlackBerry.
Indeed. And so there's then this question with Amazon that came up before the announcement was made. It's not really surprised anybody around business pricing and innovation there. And that's something I want to talk about a bit in this podcast, because it feels like this is an iteration one product. And Amazon, you know, jumped into the tablet space and has struggled a little bit there. If you look in the US, for example, you've got between 5 and 10% of tablets in the US are Amazon Kindle devices. That's just one market. If you look in some of its other launch markets, it's done, you know, not as well. The phone space is arguably even more competitive and harder to get into. So that's something we should maybe address. But this this blog post finishes up by saying you have to be realistic about Amazon's prospects, you know, and that's borne out, I think, in a lot of the conversation that's happened. But it does, I think, raise some really interesting questions about, you know, can you disrupt the main ecosystems? Does Android open source project, you know, have potential to do that outside of China and those kind of Asian markets? And of course, you know, is there a potential for Amazon to get in from what was kind of a thought of as an innovative startup in that retail space and, you know, get into mobile in a way that, you know, Google has done and obviously Microsoft is trying to do and Apple did. And actually, if you look at all of those entrants, they're all relatively recent arrivals, and all of them had businesses outside of mobile before they started.
So this week we are talking about Android open source projects, and specifically the Fire Phone, which most people in the countries that listen to this will probably have access to. But let's back up a little bit. Why would you pick Android open source project rather than some other smartphone OS?
Do you mean anyone, or do you mean Amazon?
Why would anybody who wanted to make a phone pick Android open source project?
I think the simple answer to that is that phones are a lot more difficult to make than people realize. The advantage of choosing Android open source project, it is completely compatible at the kind of level we're talking about, the hardware level, with Android. It will use the same drivers. It uses the same base operating system. It's actually only the top layers, the kind of some of the APIs and some of the apps that you can't take from Google. You have to replace them with something of your own. But everything beneath that is exactly the same. And so there are reference designs out there from the likes of Qualcomm, MediaTek, and other chipset manufacturers that mean you can build a phone using off-the-shelf components very quickly and very cheaply. If you're looking at other operating systems, you are going to have to do more hardware integration work yourself. And it's kind of part of the problem that BlackBerry's had. The cost of creating a new device or a new device family is much higher. It's something that the Symbian world really suffered from, because it was basically just Nokia as a player there. And every time it wanted to do a new generation of hardware, it had to absorb all the costs itself. If you're doing it in the Android world, most of the work is actually done by the chipset manufacturer, and the little bit that you may have to do is likely to be shared across the component suppliers and the manufacturer of the handsets, which is why you've seen the proliferation of Android handsets. You know, and it's practical from a business point of view to do runs of as few as maybe 50,000 or 100,000 devices. You know, go back 10 years, that just wasn't practical in the phone world.
And that's pretty minuscule in terms of phone
Absolutely,
runs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and so if anyone's interested in reading this blog post, just tell us quickly the background behind the guys who've written this again.
So this is from Jackdaw Research, and it's Jan Dawson, I believe, who's behind this in history in a lot of analyst firms and has come out to be kind of a one-man band in terms of providing analyst services. And just like a lot of the other analyst commentators, has done a blog to sort of give himself a bit of promotion, has written quite extensively now and has written around each of the results, quarterly results of some of the big players. I think well worth reading if you want kind of that very strong analyst view of the mobile industry, which of course comes with it, its own baggage and viewpoint. But I think seeing it from a financial and business case-based viewpoint can be a very helpful thing.
Okay, so we'll link to that post. If you're interested, we'll link to that post in the show notes.
Yep.
So let's get into the chat, though, because I'm itching to go, and I can see Ewan McLeod is on the edge of his, literally on the edge of his seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this guy's wrong, which for a man who professionally charges money for advising firms and giving them, you know, a strategy and that kind of stuff, I appreciate I might be skating on thin ice, but I think that the Amazon phone is, technically it might have chosen the right platform. So I think, as Rafe said, you and Andrew,
what was it going to choose?
Exactly. Android open source project.
Windows. Well, Windows phone?
Windows is, you can get Windows license free,
yeah,
but it does come Microsoft branded. So if you want your own branding, you've got to go Android open source project now. So let's put that aside.
Okay.
That just makes sense. And everybody does that. I think that the whole thing about Amazon reaching its customers with a hardware device is nonsense. And nothing about the Fire Phone actually moves Amazon any closer to reaching its customers. So my take on this is that the Fire Phone at the moment is 100% vanity project.
Okay. Blamford, let's hear from you before
the backup point to that is Facebook's chief, Mark Zuckerberg, going, there's no point in doing a Facebook phone if it only reaches 5 to 10% of our users. And that's one of the reasons things like the HTC First, the Facebook phone, basically died very quietly shortly after launch. And I think there's a strong point there. But I think Amazon's viewpoint
Just note that Rafe thinks I have a strong point.
A strong point, but that's it. That's just a nice way of saying he doesn't agree with you.
About to get schooled.
Amazon's viewpoint that it's calling it a vanity project, I think is unfair, because the amount that Amazon can control and learn by doing their own phone is significantly more than the alternative, which I assume you're proposed doing it through software and services sitting on top of other phones.
So my argument in detail is that there's two, you can divide the Fire Phone into two groups. There's all of the software with the cool image search, with the
3D, software,
hardware. Hang on a second. There's all the software, which is the cool shopping experience, the sound, the recognizing pictures, the recognizing sounds, all that kind of stuff, which is, I agree, is brilliant, makes it easy to be an Amazon customer, but is absolutely reproducible on any other smartphone platform. And realistically, to take your point, Rafe, it has to go on every other platform because lots of your customers are on Android, lots of your customers are on iOS. So I, in that regard, I say, well done, but what you've done is improved your software, and that's nothing to do with a Fire Phone. It just happens to be on the Fire Phone when you announced it. And then there's another group of stuff, which is the 3D interface, the snazzy cameras, the physical hardware, the Firefly button that you can, sort of like a sort of quick shopping button. And my argument there is that none of that is actually at all really focused on helping people be better customers of Amazon or providing an interesting experience. It's just all completely novelty. And therefore, you know, somebody in Amazon's innovation lab has got a bit giddy and a bit carried away and has managed to have Jeff Bezos pay for some novelty projects, you know, to use four cameras to do a 3D interface that has nothing to do whatsoever with adding any value to the Android ecosystem. And well done to them for having their hobby funded for a few months and producing this thing. But it's not going to meaningfully impact Amazon.
Okay, wait a minute. So your logic there, can you apply the same logic to Kindle? Kindle, the ebook reader. Should Amazon have not created their own physical platform, their own hardware, and relied on Sony to, or you know, insert other hardware brand to do that themselves? I think that's what they're doing here.
I think that's interesting, but there's the Kindle is noticeably different in two ways. So
go on.
First of all, they put out their software on iPad, so all the people who had high-end devices could access Kindle.
Yeah,
and then could access the Kindle software.
Yes,
and then did
the hardware not come first? I'm trying to remember.
I think it did, but they arrived very soon. So you have to assume that this was part of the delivery timescales and the plan, not the same thing. But Kindle had WhisperSync over the air built-in network, which no one else had. So Amazon had to build to give a seamless ebook experience.
Yes.
And it had a, it certainly in most markets, a rock bottom price point that meant that people who were sort of new to the ebook world could afford to get on, to get into to ebook ownership, you know, with a hardware ebook reader ownership for an affordable price. And so there, although they made hardware, they did something that that delivered Amazon quality service, you know, instant availability, mm-hmm. and allowed you to access their ecosystem. And I don't think that the Fire Phone does that, because you can already go and buy a cheaper phone that will run all of Amazon's software and allow you to use all their apps and store and shopping services, yes, if yeah. you want to.
I think also the point about ebooks and Kindle in general, that was a new market, and we have seen the kind of the acceptance of ebooks come in because of Kindle, and there have been other competitors like Kobo, where the smartphone is a much more established market. And so the level of innovation that Amazon's doing, it doesn't really feel like it's done anything that's going to be disruptive. I mean, I would disagree with Ben in that I think the dynamic perspective has the potential to be interesting. But what it's being used for at the moment is kind of under-exploiting four cameras on the...
Ewan McLeod has the potential to be interesting.
Oh, that's gonna, very
not,
kind of
I'm you. Not going to be... I'm not going to invest, you know, what must have been hundreds of, you know, million... Well, right, probably
millions of dollars. Stand back. Listen here. The current device, okay, the current one that's come out to market, that's not... it's not going to help anybody, right? I mean, it's very nice if you can be bothered to use AT&T in the States. You have to change carrier if you want to commit to a 2-year contract, or if you want to pay $650. So the current one, yes, fine.
I think you have to be realistic. You know, Amazon wasn't going to break the operator stranglehold in America overnight. It was always going to be a right. subsidized product, and we'll get onto that in a moment because I think it's a really important point. But it was also going to be AT&T because that's the partner that they currently have for providing cellular connectivity on their Kindle. And so you have to start somewhere. And starting yes. with AT&T, one of the big operators, makes sense. And I think you have to remember the way Amazon delivers products, and I think it reflects their history as a web player, is to iterate fast. And they've done that with Kindle. And so we have to remember this is just the first product.
Right.
And the amount that they can learn from doing their own hardware is enormous. And I think in time, they may well abandon their own hardware. That's probably a bit of a stretch at the moment. They'd like to be able to control it. But by controlling the whole experience, the point is they can put a Firefly button, which is the product identification thing, on the side of the phone. They're not going to be able to do that with any other hardware. And so having that level of control and then starting to do interesting things with dynamic perspective on product catalogs, being able to sort of move it and sort of get a view around things has potential. I mean, I'm as skeptical as Ben, honestly.
I think you are reaching there.
hold on a minute. This is a very smart company. And I think what we'll see here is really exciting stuff from them in 3 years' time.
Well, potentially, but and let's be clear, I'm not saying...
Not potentially, no, they are not idiots.
I'm not saying don't build hardware. I'm saying they've built the wrong hardware. If you want to build hardware...
No, I think they built the right hardware for the West Coast of America.
So,
you know, for everybody to go, oh, wow, I don't think Amazon wanted to launch their first phone. Everybody go, it's a bit middle of the road. It's a bit... I think they wanted to show off.
So that raises the question, Ben, what sort of hardware do you think they should have built?
So, no, it's the price point that's more important.
Well, I would say that if you can learn anything, you could have learned it from the Kindle, which is all of if you're a very
you don't access the whole of the consumer. I mean, look at what you get on a phone.
But so
messaging, email, you can track everything.
You've misunderstood me. So back up a little bit. What I mean is that you built the Kindle so that people at a low end of the market could enter ebook ownership, and then
right. So they don't have to do that now, right? Because we all got phones, so they now have to enter it in a standard manner.
Yeah. But so what I'm saying is that what could you do with hardware that would allow more people to access the Amazon ecosystem? And I think that what you could have done would have been tied an Amazon-branded device to an Amazon-branded network and created a fully Amazon-branded experience, and that the phone just needed to be a cheap enough and optimized enough to run Amazon services.
This is what we're going to see, though.
But I think
this is what we're going to see, right?
And
are you and I agreeing here, Blanford?
No, because I think that's European thinking. You have to understand that the US market is different.
I don't know if I should be offended or delighted by that.
Well, offended, I think.
You should be delighted because US market is actually something of an odd fish in the way that phones get sold. all the phones get sold, or smartphones at least get sold on a, you know, contract that is $80 plus. And so the upfront cost at $199 is actually a relatively small part of the cost of ownership, even if they gave the phone away for free. And let's face it, it's not going to be that long before this Amazon phone comes down to free anyway. It wouldn't make a lot of difference. And so in the US, building mid-tier phones doesn't make a lot of sense because of the way the pricing is structured in the States. Here in, you know, UK or the rest of Europe, or indeed the rest of the world, where you actually sort of have a contract cost that's more associated with the real cost of the phone, I think your strategy would make more sense. But Amazon, their biggest market is the US, and so they have to tailor their first mobile phone product for that market.
I'm just confused by this four camera 3D screen.
No, it's just to make sure. I reckon what Amazon needed to have were positive headlines saying, "Oh, that does stand up quite nicely to an iPhone 5." I think that's what I agree with you, Ben. Okay, that's not really what the way they need to be going. I think the exciting piece will be when they iterate this to the nth degree, right? And I'm looking forward to seeing when I can have an Amazon Prime Plus account that gives me global data access and global phone calls for, you know, $40 a month or £40 a month or something. That Amazon have done everything.
It just strikes me, and we will move on because I'm going late, but it just strikes me that you don't need a $650 phone to deliver good Amazon ecosystem.
I think they wanted credibility. I think they wanted everyone to go, yeah, that does stack up well. I'm not sure if I'd buy it, but that does stack up well. I think that's what they wanted.
It looks like somebody's just gone to the bill of materials and go, oh, it's only worth $400. Quick, stick another three cameras on there, Jeff, and make it do pseudo 3D.
I wouldn't be surprised flippantly if that's roughly what's happened, right?
They made a funky device. The aluminium buttons. Yeah. But that does bring up a really interesting question.
Rafe found something interesting out of what I said.
Your European thinking.
How does Amazon therefore do it right? What's the next model? And I think something that you and Touch on earlier, which is around the pricing, how does Amazon disrupt this?
Kill the rest of the market. It's what Amazon does really, really well. And I wonder if we're going to see that now, right? When they've gone.
So let's bring it back to Android Open Source Project.
Right.
For me, all the people who are using Android Open Source Project are using it to enable innovation in other areas. So it could be a really innovative device to go with a really innovative tariff.
Yeah.
It could be in China, loads and loads of media players and loads of sort of what would have been consumer electronics have now become kind of pseudo tablets and can run applications. You can put it into all kinds of consumer electronics. You can put it into connected vehicles.
Toasters.
It could even be the foundation for sort of wearables or sort of feature phones and things like that. So, and that's what amazes me, is that you've got this kind of free leg up that means you don't need to worry about building the device, as Rafe was saying. And now you can get on with your proper innovation. Think about where you're really going to, you know, change a market or something like that.
Because the value's at that top of that software stack. It's in the services and the apps, not in the hardware. Because
beyond the look at Amazon, it's in your wallet. It's in what you're spending.
Well, actually, it's the experience. You
are in my way, right? You, Mr. Operator, you, Mr. Hardware Vendor, you're in my way. Okay, and I want billions, if not trillions, I want billions from this marketplace. So I will make that happen. I think that's what we're going to see. It's going to be so exciting to see what happens across the next couple of years with Amazon, because I think it's got the potential to completely revolutionize this whole mobile world.
Well, Rafe, I was going to say, why don't you explain what was innovative about the way that the Kindle worked with operators? Because that's why I was thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be big. You know, they're going to have come up with something really smart with an operator, because to my mind, they're one of the only companies that's ever done that before with the Kindle.
Yeah, you're right. And the Kindle came in a Wi-Fi and a 3G option. And 3G, immediately everyone goes, you're going to have to pay for a monthly subscription to connect your Kindle.
And
but no.
At that point when it came into the market, 3G was costing what? £25 a month?
It felt like a fortune,
like
certainly.
You know, something reasonable, yeah.
And so actually the cost of your connection was bundled into the cost of the device. And so you could use it for downloading ebooks wherever you were in the world. And actually, you know, I can remember being on holiday thinking, it's fantastic. I can get free content while I'm sitting on the beach and not think about how much it's costing me to download this book. Now, it was only a megabyte or two, but this was when a megabyte or two would cost you 10, 20 quid.
They're not unique, but there's very, very few firms that have ever moved to using 3G as a transport mechanism and bundling the cost in with the product.
The things about Kindle were that it was a relatively limited amount of data. You know, there was an experimental browser on it, and Amazon have done some interesting thing with the silk compression technology. But ultimately, it was just kind of, they treated it as almost a machine-to-machine connection, which they're quite happy just collecting a couple of dollars from Amazon. And whether it's usage-based or on a device, we don't actually know. The smartphone is a very different thing because there are lots of smartphones out there. And AT&T's model is to charge a certain amount. And so it made it impossible.
Exactly. The model today is...
Amazon can't get around that because they have to sign the agreement with the operators. The operators are the ones that control that pipe and that, you know, that.
But if you're
frequency,
I'm impressed that they're
delivered.
Well, but I'm impressed that they're working in this space because I think that they are the only people who could create in North America and Europe and these established markets a new ecosystem. But in everything else they do, in the web services, in the delivery, even in their logistics, they are laser focused on just, you know, building the ecosystem and making it stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm just looking at this going, what is this? How is this in any way, you know, making the ecosystem incrementally stronger?
Yeah, and I would agree, because I think from a consumer perspective, the proposition is disappointing for the first iteration. But in some senses, that's a sign of the expectation that was on Amazon's shoulders, you know, before they launched this. And at the same time, I have to be really impressed that they've launched this basically with a complete ecosystem, something that Microsoft with Windows Phone has taken years to get to. And indeed, you could say the same about Apple and Google. I also really like the way that this connects the physical with the digital world through the Firefly product. You know, Amazon's shop window is now the entire window. If you can see it or you can hear it, you can buy it on Amazon in about 5 seconds. That's really impressive. And as an experience, you know, that kind of makes the technology disappear and appeals to consumers.
Am I being way too optimistic by saying,
yes,
look, you and your European thinking, sit back there. Am I being too optimistic in thinking that...
I wish I could come back with some witty European language.
Well, there you go.
Unfortunately, my schoolboy French only orders beer.
Je voudrais le une pizza.
Right. Anyway, I think we should gloss over that quickly.
Right. So, am I, for the third time, being too optimistic?
Yes, for the third time.
Our Amazon's strategy here. I think it could be the beginning of something really exciting. I reckon that this first handset is just proving the way. Wouldn't it be cool if Amazon came along a couple of years' time, $30 a month, prime, or something?
You're that kid who comes back after the first date with stars in his eyes talking about getting married, because this was a first outing, and
someone's going to take that and put that on Twitter.
It's a miss. It is a chronic miss.
Right. Okay. Now. Okay. I accept it is a miss. Okay. I accept it's a really difficult conversation.
So I'm correct then.
One of the readers on Mobile Insta Review, GIF, GIFF, I was asking him, he's a big Amazon customer in the States there. He just doesn't want to swap to AT&T. He's very interested in the Amazon phone. And the $199, he'd probably pay it, I think he was saying, but not. He just doesn't want to swap to a different network. So, yeah, there are going to be problems.
You see, I buy more stuff from Amazon. I just don't find their website 3D enough. I just look at it and I think, oh, if only I moved my head and the pictures moved around, I would definitely buy some more of those.
But don't look at the individual bits of technology. Think about Amazon's long-term plan, which is basically to sell more stuff to you.
Yes.
Does this enable them to do that? Quite possibly it has really interesting implications across understanding consumer behavior, providing new purchase mechanisms, connecting physical to digital. You know, do they care about making money from hardware? Of course not. Do they care about making money from phone service? Of course not. No. They care about being the kind of the retailer that you go to first and last. And I think they need to be in the mobile space and playing with mobile and e-commerce in order to reach that goal. And so, I see it more as something that's a research piece in the real world, and launching a product to do that, to me, makes sense. If you're a consumer, I can't recommend it as a device at the moment.
And then let me just finish off before I was rudely interrupted there, Smith.
Hello.
Now, will we see Amazon take an ego beating here when, you know, next couple of quarters we say, all right, how many of these new Fire phones have you sold? They are 25,000 or 50,000. That's not going to be a very good look, is it? So what are Amazon going to do? So A, they must have a longer term plan, right, to get this out to a wider mass audience. And B, they're not going to react well to failure or to the perception of failure. So therefore, what are they going to do with their billions?
I think the metric that will be interesting will be the number of people that go into the Prime, that's their recurring subscription mm-hmm. model, because of the phone, perhaps because they buy it and they get the subscription and they become, you know, they join the Prime Absolutely. Membership, or the number of people, the percentage of people who kind of use the phone because they're already subscribers and increase their volume. So I think that they might not focus on unit sales. They might talk about Prime coverage. So 50% of North American Prime subscribers are now using an Amazon phone. Because you know what we've done is
that's got to be huge figures.
It is huge numbers, but you've either got to use the phone as a gateway into the system or as a way to absolutely optimize your experience of it. So that's the gateway for me would be cheap, like the Kindle devices, or it could be a very very high end sort of Amazon experience. I don't mean high-end device, but just absolutely, as Rafe was saying, you know, the easiest way to buy something in a heartbeat from Amazon. And I just don't think this device is fish or fowl. So, but I would be interested to see what they do next.
And that point you make is that we can't judge the Amazon phone in the way that we judge other hardware manufacturers. The metrics that matter most, we won't ever hear about, which are how many more sales do they make? How many more products do they sell? And if this results in, you know, a customer buying 10% more stuff through Amazon because it's easier or for whatever reason, they will judge that a success. For them, the issue will then be, how do we roll out that particular avenue to everybody? And I think there are some unanswered questions about how you can recreate that Amazon experience on all phones, because make no mistake, it will only ever sell a small portion of the market. People aren't going to switch their iPhone or high-end Android for this, just as has happened in the tablet market. But can Amazon learn from it? Can they optimize their business? And can they get better at selling you more of your groceries? You know, Amazon's business model isn't selling phones. Its aim is to be 100% of your retail acquisitions. It doesn't, you know, that's what it's all about.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up there. So what have we learned this week? Well, we've talked about Android open source projects, and I've learned a little bit about from Rafe about in terms of what it means. I didn't realize that Android open source was completely Google free. That's been interesting, and it's now the basis for somebody else's ecosystem.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of other Android open source devices out there, and the one that caught my attention recently was that Boeing Black Phone, they make that for the US government. So it's kind of Android, but super, super secure. So I reckon we'd definitely be interested to look at more Android open source devices. Are there any others that you can get in the UK, Rafe?
There are a couple that are sort of branded devices, and in the security space, there's a couple of other devices, but it's not something that's really taken off in the UK, Western Europe, or the States. So say it's actually really been out in Asia, where, you know, Google perhaps less prevalent, or there are actually alternatives to go on top of that. So in China, for example, you know, Baidu and all of the other, you know, big web services out there, you know, and actually often they're bigger than the ones we think of in the Western Europe. You know, WhatsApp has WeChat and Line as equivalents.
Okay, gents, thank you very much for your time this week.
Lots of love. Hi to the listeners again.
Hi to the listeners. As ever, just a quick push every week on the podcast. When we publish a post with the player inside, there is a three-question survey, and we've been getting loads and loads of answers. In fact, so many answers that I haven't yet closed the survey for episode one, because we're still getting people who are going back listening through old episodes, logging on and responding. So we might actually save all the results to the end of the season. It's a few episodes away. But if you've got, if you've enjoyed this podcast, or actually even if you haven't, jump on the 361podcast.com, go to this week's post and give us your opinion, answer the three questions, and then perhaps go below and give us a comment as well. You can find us at 361 Podcast on Twitter or 361podcast.com. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye bye. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can comment, subscribe, and catch up with previous episodes at 361podcast.com. If you're an iTunes user, we'd be jolly grateful for a 5-star review. There's a link and pictures of how to rate the show at 361podcast.com/rate. Each review makes it lots easier for new listeners to find us.